to start?
We're going to do just a little bit, of course, like always, of Parashat Bereishit. So I'm going to start with the famous machloket between the Ramban and the Rashi. I'm going to start with that. And then we're going to move to Shabbat by Chulu. I just couldn't, even though it's Yisru Chag, I couldn't skip Parashat Bereishit because it's like a chock full of so much stuff, and it's always a shame. I always think it's a shame that when, you know, when Simchas Torah is on Thursday and you don't have time to actually learn any Bereishit, you know, because it's so much. There's so much there. Right. So I don't like skipping. So as we all know, if you look at the first Rashi in the Torah, the first Rashi in the Torah is really Rashi's sort of introduction to the Torah. And so we're going to discuss just very, not very briefly, somewhat briefly, the Rashi and the Ramban. And then hopefully I'm going to give a third suggestion to answer the question that they suggest. And the question that they really ask is, the bottom line question is, why in the world do we need all this information? I mean, if it's not practical, it's not halachic, what's its relevance to us? Why is Sefer Bereishit important to us? Okay?
That's a good question. Sefer
Bereishit? Well, Rashi puts it, a little bit Rashi, you'll see. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, first Rashi in the Torah, Lo haya tzarich latchil et haTorah ela mehachodesh hazeh lachem. Shehi mitzvah rishona shenitzdavu ba Yisrael. Now, people I know have given whole shiurim on this entire, on this Rashi. Okay? And could speak about it for hours if asked. We're not going to do that. But what we're going to, we'd like to see is, Rashi has a few, has some interesting assumptions, underlying assumptions about, in his comment, in the comment itself. Okay? The Torah should not have begun, the Torah did not need to start, Ela mehachodesh hazeh lachem, shehi mitzvah rishona shenitzdavu ba Yisrael. That's the first mitzvah the Jewish people were commanded. Okay, so according to Rashi, what is the Torah book of, essentially, according to our understanding?
A mitzvah.
It's a book of what to do, what not to do. It's a book of commandments. If it's really a book of commandments, then why in the world do I need all this superfluous information that has no commandments at all? We're going to go through an entire book and a quarter without any mitzvot whatsoever, without any really reference to Bnei Israel per se as a nation. We're going to get there. So Rashi, skip it. What do I need all this information for? What do I need these stories? It's really fun and nice and all that. But
I was going to say, there are no mitzvot aser, mitzvot lo taseh, but there definitely are lessons to be learned in terms of general behavior.
Right. Well, what do you mean?
Well, that's the mitzvah. Take up Avraham Avinu and Hachmasa Torah and take, I don't know, things like that.
So what?
That's what the mitzvah
says. I'm saying, beyond mitzvah and mitzvah law, there's the, if you could maybe call the letter of the law, and the, you know, role models for your general behavior outside the...
Right. What's most interesting, I mean...
Also creates connections.
I agree with you. I think the answer, I think even Rashi would probably agree the answer is obvious. This is critical information. Well, you know, to your origins, the roots of the story. I mean,
I'm saying forget that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying if you're saying it's a book of mitzvot, I feel like there's implied behavior guidelines that are not
in the mitzvot
as mitzvot.
You could do it without it, couldn't you? You get by in background. I mean, a lot of our information, like, you know, Avraham and the Kibshana Eish. So who was Avraham? Okay, so there's a legend, a story about Abraham that's sort of communicated through Tarash Baal Peh, I guess, or who knows? You know what I'm saying?
Fine, but then it's not necessarily a question about Sefer Bereishit. It's a question about every time you tell us that the Bnei Yisrael moved from one place to another place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Bereishit.
Right, right. Okay, I agree. I mean, I don't think even Rashi thinks that his question is a good question per se. You know what I'm saying? It's a setup question. Of course you need this information. I mean, you're really going to skip the entire story of Briat HaOlam? Even if you don't understand it, you're going to skip creation, you're going to skip the Avot, you're going to skip the... I mean, like, these are critical pieces of information. That's what Rashi says. So, we'll read on in Rashi and not get into the nitty-gritty and the nuance of the specific... Thank you. Umatam patach bibreishit. Why did Rashi begin with Bereishit?
Why did the Torah begin with Rashi?
Thank you. Why did the Torah begin with Bereishit? Mishum... Koach ma'asav higid la'amo la'tet lahem nachalat goyim. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. Koach ma'asav higid la'amo. The greatness, the power of his actions, he told his nation, to give them an inheritance for the nations. She'im yomru umot ha'olam l'Yisrael listimatem. So the nations of the world will say to the Jewish people, you guys are thieves. She'kavashtem artzat shiva goyim. You have conquered the lands of the seven nations. Hey, Mamim Lahem, so what can we say back to the nations of the world? Kol ha'aretz shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole land, the whole nation, the whole world belongs to God. Hu bira'a, he created it, unitana la'asher yashar ba'inav. He gave it to he who is righteous in his eyes. God gave it to them first, but then God decided it's his prerogative. He took it away from them and gave it to us. Okay, so what's the whole point of Bereah? This is a very fascinating Rashi. You know, how could Rashi have known that especially as time would pass, like this would be the debate, this would be the challenge, you know, the argument. What?
He was living at the time when it was a debate.
The Jewish people, it wasn't an argument between the Jews and the non-Jews. It was an argument between the Muslims and the Christians.
Okay.
It wasn't a debate, the Jews stole the land of Canaan.
Because there was no hope of the Jews.
Because nobody cared. Correct, nobody cared about the Jews. Absolutely correct. So why all of a sudden, was that the burning issue at the time?
I think he was the first Zionist.
The first Zionist. First religious Zionist.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible wasn't the first.
Right.
But it is very prophetic that this discussion, this debate that we're having, even today, we continue to have this debate, right, about you guys stole the land, how could you steal the land, blah, blah, blah. Right? Rashi presaged it by 1,000 years.
He did not have Nebuah?
Rashi?
Or in the sense of what we think of Nebuah?
Ruach HaKodesh? Yeah, I think it, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
The destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash.
He just have a Ruach HaKodesh, some kind of inspiration, some kind of divine inspiration. Miriam went to Beis Yaakov. Simcha, can you get her, please?
Isn't there some Rashi when he talks about the ephod with the Bidei Kuna and he said that I don't know if it's the actual text or the story. I don't know. It's similar to the Beis Yaakov.
Right.
Wasn't something with the ephod when he's talking about the Bidei Kuna and he didn't know what it was? And he says something, I remember it's in French, and he says he saw people out wearing like tunic kind of clothes, and then he realized that it was like he was meant to see, he couldn't understand why he was meant to see it.
That's in Rashi? Are you familiar?
No.
I'm not familiar with this Rashi. I mean, we definitely believe that we've shown him that Rashi had a sort of divine inspiration, that he has sort of like, you know, to some degree.
I'm not saying he had a nevuah, but I thought that, I just remember there being a Rashi where he says that he saw something, he couldn't understand why he saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realized he saw it because it was intended to, it was to help him understand how to translate.
I'm not familiar with this story about Rashi per se. I'm not familiar.
Somewhere in my education.
Nonetheless,
this
is like the olive bed of religion. I'm just going to go, I'll get on my soapbox for a minute, because I've this soapbox is like a never-ending soapbox. Obviously, this is olive bed in Judaism, you know what I'm saying? The first Rashi in the Torah is that we need a nation and we need a land. The first one, you know what I'm saying? If you were going to pick your first comment to make, your introductory comment, what would you choose? What's most important to you? And Rashi, for whatever reason, picks this. And I would like to indict my education in that this was never pointed out to me until I came to Israel. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it bothers me. It was not pointed out to me before I came to Israel and studied in Israel. Before I studied in Israel. It was not pointed out to me as such. It was never pointed out. Ah, it was Rashi. Koach Masa Begida Amo. Okay? I don't even know if it was glossed over in such a way.
My students under like that.
Your students under like that. Good, because you came to Israel. And you were taught that. Anyway, you didn't study that way here?
I don't remember.
Nonetheless, says Rashi, what's the reason, what's the purpose for the whole Sefer Bereishit? At least one of the purposes, a homiletical purpose, is to tell us that we have an eternal right to Eretz Yisrael. That's why you have the whole Sefer Bereishit? Does that do it for you?
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough? You know what I'm saying? The answer is there's going to be more than one reason. But it seems to me that's like, really? That if I know that God created the world, I need the whole story of creation in order to get there?
I mean, why can't it just say God created the world?
Right.
No, but,
correct. God that's created the world. If you accept that, I mean, if you accept the whole premise of the Torah, you also accept the premise that God created the world. You know what I'm saying? You also connect. We're going to see in it says, what does it say in the Aseret Hadibrot? You know what I'm saying? It's part of who we are that God created the world. It's part of our very identity.
But it's the opposite.
It's our identity, our whole identity, our worldview.
It has to do with the Jewish people. Right.
Correct. So why would you do something to do with Jewish people?
Wasn't it the other way? If we accept that God created the world, we can accept that God created the Torah. Like there's a build up to that. He did this, he did this, he did this, and he gave us the Torah.
Right. If you accept the Torah, you also have to accept that God created the world, don't you?
Right, but the opposite is not necessarily true.
Correct.
So maybe it's because of that opposite that we need
it. No, I'm saying if God... Rashi's question is, why do we need all this stuff? Why don't we start with, I don't know, first mitzvah? As soon as you accept the first mitzvah, you also take it for granted that God created the world. Because otherwise, why would you care about the mitzvah at all? Why would you even want any of that? Why would it be relevant to you? Anyway, that's Rashi's...
It's not logical.
What's not logical?
Start at the beginning.
You're only saying that because it started...
Starting at mitzvah? Like, whoa, what about...
Really? Have you ever learned Shulchan Aruch?
But the Torah just...
Yes?
But the Torah precedes the Shulchan Aruch.
Right.
What is the Torah?
Meaning,
But that's Rashi's question. Rashi's real question is, what is the Torah? Is it a book of rules? And the answer is no. So then what is it? What's according to his answer, what is it?
You're not going to start with kids. You know, at age 3, you're not going to start telling them all the... You're not going to start teaching them all the mitzvahs.
You have to think about this only because you take it for granted that these are the rules, that this is the way it is. Think about, if we would have written it, Lahavdil, we're not writing it, obviously. What would we have written? What would we have wanted to communicate? Why are all these stories important? Why are they all relevant? A lot of them, you could say, you could communicate the values of Abraham, you know, the Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Of course, they're core personalities. But so, what's Rashi's answer? Why is this all relevant?
Because
of our history. Does that do it for you? All of that? The whole thing?
That's basically saying Hashem created the world, so he can do anything he wants.
Right?
That's the point.
And, the exodus from Egypt wasn't enough? Start at Yitzchak Mitzrayim.
But then you don't get the promises
that he made to Abraham. Well, we'll
mention it later on. You get a monotheistic view of the... You could have one God who created the world, and you could have a different God who brought us out of Egypt.
Oh. Okay.
I think.
Interesting. Very nice. Okay, but then Rashi doesn't do it for you. I mean, Rashi has a really,
exactly
really...
Exactly what Rashi says. He says, the one who...
He's the all-encompassing God. He's the one who...
Very good. I would agree with you. That's in the Midrash, but Rashi focuses specifically on Kibush Haaretz. This is very interesting. It's very interesting to know.
No, because he adds in that word Hu Bira'ah Unetana LaAsher Yasharmeinah. He created it.
But the Midrash is Sheim Yomu Uma Ta'olam Listim Atem Shekavashtem Arzo Chiva Goyim. The focus of the Rashi.
Don't start talking about what the Midrash is.
I apologize. Turn to the Ramban. Otherwise, it's going to get banned. Okay, turn to the Ramban.
What percentage of mitzvot are related to living Israel or conquering Israel or?
Ooh, what percentage?
Roughly, I'm talking half.
No, not even close. Not even close.
What is it?
There's a bunch of mitzvot tzuri up haaretz. Well, if you include the Beit Hamikdash one. If you include all the mitzvot of the Beit Hamikdash, that's a chunk. That's like a third. But it's not, is that per se the Eretz Yisrael? Or that's true, you know, if you could only have Beit Hamikdash in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
And we can't do those anyway, even if you have Eretz Yisrael. All right, let's skip to the Ramban. Okay? Ramban says like this. One second. Says Ramban. The Aleph. First Ramban. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. He quotes Rashi. Okay? One second. Lo yatzarich latchil atorah lemechodesh zelachem. Shehi mitzvah harishona shehitzavu b'Yisrael. That's the first mitzvah. Umatam patach b'Breshit. Why do we start with Breshit? Mishum koach ma'asav v'gid ha'amam. Sheim yomu umot ha'olam listim atem shekabashem lechem arzot shiva goyim. It's according to Rashi. If you say you're thieves, heim omrim lehem, they say, kol ha'aret shel ha'kadosh baruch hu, the whole land belongs to God. Unetana lash...
He left out that word.
What?
He left out the word we were talking about before. Hu bira'ah unetana la'asher shabreinam. He just
wrote. Ubritzono
natan lahem. He left out the bira'ah part.
Ubritzono natan lahem v'nanu lo. And now you have to tell me what this line means. Zo agada bilashon shekatva rabbeinu b'feirusha.
I told you when we were learning what it means.
Okay.
I think this is Rashi's version of the Midrash. This is how Rashi is writing the Midrash. But this is not the way the Midrash is
written. I think he means that's what Rashi had. Anyway. Liyeshish olva. Let's ask. What do you, that question is a ridiculous question. Why do we start the Torah at Bereshit? The answer is obvious. You have to start in Briah. Ki ha'hu shorash ha'emunah. Is that not the foundation of all faith? V'she'eino ma'amin v'zeh she'choshev sha'olam kadmon. Hu kofer be'ikar ve'en lo Torah klal. Right? If you think that the world predates all existence, that the world has always existed, there's no Torah at all. So, it makes sense. Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim v'ha'aretz. God created the world, because if you didn't have God created the world, then there's nothing. That's really what you were saying. Correct? This is the foundation of all belief. V'hatshuva. So according to Rashi, why, how are you even asking this question? He says the answer is, Mibnei shema aseh breshit sod amok, eno muvan min amikra. He says, I'll tell you what. If you read through Breshit, to be honest, does anybody have any idea what's going on in Breshit at all? Did God really create the world in 6 days, the way we understand it?
Unclear.
Right. It's unclear that nobody has any idea what, you know, heavens and the earth, and then the stars and the sky, really? Like, that means anything to anybody? Even though we teach our children nice songs, it's very nice that they should know what it says, but nobody has any idea what it means. Right, the water, the rain, the top, the bottom, the grass, that nobody's any idea what it means. V'lo yivada al barav, so how would anybody really know what it does mean? Ela al pi kabbalah. Ad Moshe Rabbeinu mipi ha'gvura. So when God gave Moshe, he told him to write Bereishit, he says, I got to tell you what this means. I'll tell you what it means. V'yod'av chayavin lahastir oto. If anybody knows what it means, they have to hide it. They can't share it. The Gemara says so.
Or they have to hide it?
No, the Gemara says, there's two things, there's two sugyot that you cannot teach in public. One is called Ma'aseh Merkabah, which is the first parak for Pakim Abi Chezkel, and there's also something called Ma'aseh Bereishit. Right? And it's taught from teacher to student, one to one, and those who know it, don't share it. So therefore, if that's the whole point, then why do I have to read it in shul? You know what I'm saying? Let those Kabbalists, they can learn their Kabbalah or whatever. So what do I need to know for? The Kach Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, She'en la'tatchara Torah tzurach b'breishit rabah. So I don't need the whole story of Breishit Bara. Thank you. V'asipur b'mashal ivra b'yom rishon, n'man hasa b'yom sheni, u'shar yamim. What, first day, second day, third day, v'arichut b'yitzirat adam chava, v'chat'am v'oncham. There's a lot to talk about, but really don't understand how they were created, what their sin was, why they were punished. V'sipur gan Eden, v'girush Adam, ki kol ze lo yuvan bina shleima min haktuvim. You're just not going to understand it from reading the story. I think that's also, you know, we were talking about that tragedy of Jewish education. That so many people, they have this first grade perspective. They learn in, whatever, day school or Hebrew school, mostly Hebrew school. They learn these stories, their children's stories. And then they never get beyond that. And then they think that the religion is a religion of children's stories. As opposed to something very deep and very, very, very important, very, very substantial. I skip. Okay? And so Rashi says, therefore he says, V'chol shegesi poor dora mabul, the palaga, she'en ha-torah b'em gadol. What do I need to know all these stories for? Yaspik l'anshe ha-torah. So what does a Torah person need? Bil adeh ha-ktuvim ha-ilah. You can get along without it. We're going to come back to the Chumash. Don't worry. We're not going to read this whole thing. V'yaminu bichlal b'nizkal lehem aseret ha-dibrot. All you need is the Ten Commandments when it says, Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz et ha-yam ve'et kol ha-shabam v'yonach b'yam ha-shvi'i. Get to the Ten Commandments. God says, by the way, I created the world. Great. Terrific. 7 days. Wonderful. V'tisha'er ha-yidiyah li'echidim shebehem halacha le-moshe mi-sinai in Torah Shebaal Peh. Leave all these details in Torah Shebaal Peh, in the oral tradition, which they are anyway. What do we need to read all of this for? So that's Rashi's question. Of course the information is important. Why do we need to read it? Well, he's quoting Rashi. He's explaining what Rashi's question is. Because you would think, what do you mean, Rashi? I need to know creation. The answer is, you wouldn't know it anyway. You don't know it anyway. It doesn't mean anything. So all the details are not important. So he says the following. V'natan Rabbeinu Yitzchak hatam lazeh ki tchila atarah bebreishit bara Elohim v'sipur kol inyan yitzirah b'riyat ha'olam. He tells that the reason why it starts with creation until of creation of man v'himshilu b'maaseh adav v'chol shit tachat raglav v'gan Eden etc. etc. He tells the whole story. I'm skipping to the next paragraph. Imkein, 1 second.
No, you can't skip.
I can't skip. Yeah, thank you. Gan Eden, Shu Mivchar Makomot Ivraim Ba'olam Hazeh Na'aseh Machon Shifto. God created Gan Eden, which is the dwelling place for His sanctuary. Ad Shigiresh Oto Bechet O Misham, until man was exiled from there through his sin. V'Anshei Dor Hamabul Bechet Am Gorshu Min Ha'olam Kulo. The Anshei Dor HaMabul, through their sinfulness, were kicked out of the world. And the only righteous person, he escaped. What caused the people to be spread around the whole world? Their sinfulness. If so, when that nation continues to sin, another nation will come and inherit their land. That is the way of God, the judgment of God in the world forever. Same is true of Canaan, the son of Canaan was the son of Noah. Or the grandson. What Ramban is saying is, I'm reading it a little quickly, I apologize.
He's looking at the same midrash from a different
Absolutely.
Angle.
He's saying, it's not specifically about Eretz Canaan per se. It's not the Jews get the land of Israel. Rather, what he's saying is, if you read Rashi again, he's saying, Koach ma'asav hikidah amo, God gave the land to the land to who he wished. Okay? But Rashi's saying, Hihu bera'av unetana la'asher yashar be'enav. God's way is to reward those who follow his path. Netana lehem birtono, umirtono netana lehem. He gave it to somebody else. Says Ramban, the message isn't one of land per se, it's one of reward and punishment. This is the message of all of Sefer Bereishit. Look at the stories throughout Sefer Bereishit. You have the creation. Okay, the 6 days, you don't know what it means. It's a parak. Move on. Adam and Chava is a critical story. It's a story of reward and punishment. And the entire story of mankind afterwards. The Mabul. Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, etc., etc. It's the story of you follow God's way, you receive reward. You abandon God's way, you receive punishment. The idea being to instill in whom? Instill in us. You got Eretz Canaan? Terrific. You want to stay there? You better behave. That's a much more, and that can only be conveyed not through 6 days, oh by the way. You know what I'm saying? We relate to stories in ways that we don't relate to rules. Like the idea of personality and imagery, it creates a sense of reality within us that's far greater than just God said don't do this, God said don't do that.
But we don't learn from other people's mistakes.
Sure we do.
We do?
Of course we do. I mean, we try. Without their example, without those stories, if it was just something abstract, it would be much, much worse. Right? So says Ramban. So I find that this is, Ramban and Rashi agree on the same Midrash, but they take it in totally different directions. And the Ramban's understanding is much more nuanced. It's the same Midrash, but it's the reason why God gave us all this information is to instill in us this sense of you have to follow the Torah for a reason. Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a system in the world. Okay, that God created the world in such a way, and that should you like to remain in this land, you have to make sure that you follow in the Torah and follow Mitzvah. Something like that? Did okay?
Okay.
Okay.
It's interesting. It's also not to the extreme because.
Told you, you're called Shira on this Rashi. Never mind.
You know, we have heard, right, that there were many worlds before this world. That it's not the first time.
There are Midrashim about that. It's okay. Not explicit. You know what I'm saying? The Midrash says that God created and destroyed.
So it's like Hashem infinite learns worlds. Us, but doesn't go overboard with it. You know, doesn't scare us too much with all the details of maybe the previous world.
One second, you don't think the threat of the destruction of humankind is too much?
Okay, but it's once.
I drowned them all. What? Yeah, that's like, you know.
Well, it's pretty much there. It's not many times as like the Midrashim say.
God only promised not to destroy the world through rain. Right. There's no guarantee of other stuff.
No, but we don't know the history if he's had other worlds and like how many times he's destroyed.
It's not relevant to you in this world, is it?
Well, it could be a scare tactic, but he doesn't use it. He
I don't
uses
know.
One.
Is
that the way you know the model?
He doesn't want us to come out of fear.
What?
He doesn't want us to come to him out of fear.
Sure does.
Awe and respect, not necessarily fear.
According to the Ramban. the point of the Torah, the message of the Torah is?
You sin, you lose it.
You sin, you lose it. You like things how they are?
Meaning, it says it specifically about Eretz Yisrael.
About Eretz Canaan. I think that's the point. It's not necessarily about mankind per se. This book is a book for the Jewish people. It was given to the Jewish people. It wasn't, meaning all of this, the whole, like you said, Jews are not mentioned, like, you know, this is about mankind, the creation of the world, Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon wasn't Jewish. He was the first man. He was an ancestor of all of humanity. But the book was given to us. It was given to us for a reason. It was to convey to us this idea. You like who you are as a people. You like who you are as a nation. You like the place that you're in. It doesn't come for free.
So how does Hashem expect the Goyim to...
To what?
Keep what they're supposed to keep.
What are they supposed to keep?
They
don't
have a book.
Yeah, he gives
where,
it...
Where?
Through us.
They don't have a book.
It's our job to relate it to them. That's exactly the point. It's our job. It's funny. I was.
But it's not fair that we're not doing a good job.
We were in Yerushalayim. We were in Yerushalayim, and I was walking with Leah, with my daughter, and she was like, when you see all these churches, you see all these different religions, it raises a lot of questions. So she's wondering, what do they believe? What don't they believe? It's important for kids to have some sense of she's like, so she says, well, if we're right, how come they don't really agree with us? How come they, you know, how come they don't understand? How come they don't see the way we see things? I said, well, we don't necessarily always do a good job. You know, sometimes we fight among ourselves so much that we forget to tell other people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Or because we're fighting so much, we cannot teach other people.
Correct. Skip to the end of Perek, beginning of Perek Bet. Okay. We're going to read the psukim, the first psukim. You all know this psukim by heart, but we're going to read them anyway. Because the psukim you know by heart, we're going to see there's some problems. As always. Vayechulu Hashem Perek Bet Pasuk Aleph. Got it? Perek Bet, chapter 2. Right. There's a lot of commentary on Perek Aleph. You notice that?
Yeah.
All that Torah Shabbat Peh that nobody understands what's going on. Like, even if you study it, you still, like, you don't have any idea what's going on. Yeah, what?
No, I was going to say, the rest of the Ramban is quoting the original version of the Midrash that he says supports his view that the reason Rashi has...
I mean, Rashi, so you're saying Rashi... Right, Rina has this whole thing. She'll give a shiur on it sometime. Mm-hmm. Rashi changed the Midrash. He combined two Midrashim in order to make his point. And the Ramban, whatever. So, it's a good shiur. I've heard it before. Vayechulu Hashamayim v'ha'aretz v'chol tzva'am. Translate. Vayechulu.
And they finished.
Vayechulu would mean and they finished. Vayechulu, it's in the reflexive. And they were completed. The heavens and the earth, b'chol tzva'am.
And their staff.
And their tzava.
Army.
And their armies. Well, we translate this as, and their hosts. Which is a good way of saying, we have no idea what tzva'am are, because host is a meaningless word.
There are many.
And their tzva'am.
Their
minions. Okay, so I just have a simple question. But we say it's every Shabbos, right? What does that mean? What does this pasuk add? What?
Don't know.
Nothing. To us. What if I just started this way? Vayechal Elohim b'yom hashvi'i melachto asher asah. Great. Vayere vayivoker yom hashishi. Vayechal Elohim b'yom hashvi'i melachto asher asah. Terrific. What is vayechulu hashamayim ve'aretz v'chol tzva'am?
It's not vayechal Elohim
b'yom hashishi, or should say. Oh, wait, we're not at that question. I'm still asking my first question. First question is, what does pasuk aleph mean?
Well, there are two questions.
Based on the what? Shamayim v'aretz? Well,
the one thing I could tell you,
interestingly, is, right, how does the prayer begin? Reshit bara Elohim et hashamayim v'et haaretz. So this is the concluding verse of that pasuk, which is, Vayechul Hashamayim v'aretz. Right? God created the Shamayim v'aretz, and now God finished Shamayim v'aretz, v'chol tzva'am. And to me, what does v'chol tzva'am sound like?
All the other stuff.
All the stuff. Right. He created Shamayim v'aretz, and he finished Shamayim v'aretz, and all the stuff that goes in it. Okay?
Or it supports the Midrash, that there's, and all that other stuff that we don't know.
What are you referring to? What other stuff that we don't know?
What Ramban says about understanding the creation 6 days.
Oh, okay, meaning all the stuff that, right, but the word tzava is very fascinating. There's a lot of different interpretations. Look at Ramban for a second. What's called tzva'am? Says Ramban, tzva ha'aretz heim anizkarim. Right, the hosts of the land is the stuff that we mentioned, meaning chaya, remes, dagim, tzameach, adam, all the stuff. You see it? Ramban on Aleph, v'chol tzva'am. Right there. Okay? Tzva ha-shamayim, that's all the stuff, all the accessories. You got the world and all the accessories in it. Okay? V'tzva ha-shamayim, what is tzva ha-shamayim?
Stars.
Shnei ha-me'orot v'kochavim v'nizkarim. Stars, the heavens, the sky, etc., etc. Ke'en, u'pen tisa inecha ha-shamayim, merita ha-shamesh v'yareach kochavim, kol tzva ha-shamayim.
Yeah, but I never heard it used as tzva ha-aretz. You hear it used as tzva ha-shamayim a lot.
You never heard of the other stuff is called Tzva Ha'aretz?
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
It's not used.
He says the second thing. Yeah. Gam yichlol hasichlim hanivdalim.
Oh, like the malachim.
The other intelligences.
Cool.
Ke'ein ra'iti et Hashem yoshev al kiso ve'al tzva ha'shamayim omdim alav.
Oh. Isn't this that midrash that you talk about? It's the 10 things that are created Arab
Shema. Oh, I know. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a second. That's not this midrash. That's a different midrash.
Okay.
Ramban says, "V'chein gifkod Hashem al tzva ha'marom ba'marom." Right? There's the host. This actually makes sense. This is the host. What are the heavenly hosts? The heavenly hosts are all the angels, all the other stuff. V'hinei bikan ramaz al yitzirat hamalachim b'maaseh bereshit. Right? This refers to, this hints to, this alludes to the creation of the angels in maaseh bereshit. V'chein nefashot ha'adam tzva ha'shamayim hema.
What does that mean?
Yeah, you tell me. The souls of men are...
It says the neshamot. It says the nefeshot.
Nefeshot. What is nefesh? The lives of men?
The life.
Are tzva hashem. Oh, what's he saying? Very good.
The life.
What's he saying?
It's considered tzva hashemayim.
Right. There's tzva haaretz. Earthly stuff. Earthly, what's the word I'm looking for? There's the earthly hosts, the earthly, what's the word I'm looking for? What?
Elements.
Right. Avizarim. The word comes to mind is avizarim. What are avizarim? Accessories. The earthly accessories. So what is man? Is man of the earth or is man of the heavens? What? Says Ramban, man is Tzva HaShamayim.
That was my 12th grade Chumash final essay question.
Really?
Wow. Yes. She quoted us from, she quoted...
Oh, I thought the one you gave or the one she gave you?
She gave us, she quoted from the speech To Be or Not To Be from Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
And in there he talks about man being the lowest of the angels and the highest of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, according to the Parshanim that we studied this year,
which one
is
man?
It? Pick one and support it with the Parshanim that we...
You could have done this in 3 seconds.
Yeah, cool.
Did you give the Ramban?
No, I did it in 3 hours. I don't remember. I don't remember what I answered, but it's... How could you not remember? It's like, you know, something like that sticks in your head.
Very deep question.
See, that's education that you use later on in life.
Yeah, wow.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't
that something? She's the best
teacher.
She was the best teacher.
She's the best
teacher. Didn't you get exempted from Chumash because you had Chumash, like later on, because you had her?
Yeah.
Okay. V'hine b'kan ramaz yitzirat ha-malachim ba'asev reishi, or say, v'nashvashot ha-adam tzva ha-shamayim. Because Ramban says, we are, because Ramban says, what are tzva ha-shamayim? Sichlim ha-nivdalim. They are distinguished, distinct intelligences. Okay, independent intelligences. What is man if not an independent intelligence? You are of this world, but you have your own identity, your own thought. You're not an avizar of the world. You're not an accessory. You're not a thing to make the world function. Rather, you are the point of the world. You're a sichli manikdalim, with all the responsibility that comes with it. Those are tzva'am. So we don't know what the point of this pasuk is. I really don't have any good answers for you. I think just it's the good conclusion of, right? Bereshit bara Elokim shamayim va'aretz, that's done. Okay, it's complete. It was done in its completion and during the 6 days.
It's like a hint, but you don't really have to know about it. But it's there, you know?
Like all of Bereshit. Vayechal Elohim bayom ashu melachto asher asa. Vayishbot bayom ashri mikom melachto asher asa. God completed on the 7th day the work that he had done. And he rested on the 7th day from all the work that he had done. What's the problem with the pasuk?
Because
This is a problem picked up on by every single parshan. What? God does not need to rest.
Right.
God rests for choice. That's not the problem with the pasuk.
How could you finish and rest?
Correct.
Either you finish before and then you rest on that day.
Correct. Everybody understand the question?
On the seventh day.
Vayechal Elohim. If God finished on the seventh day, then he didn't rest on the seventh day. God rested.
Before this, halfway
through. On the seventh day, halfway through the seventh day, a quarter of the way through, 2 seconds in, it doesn't matter. Vayechal, if God finished by Yom HaShvi'i, then it's not Vayishbot by Yom HaShvi'i. It wasn't the seventh day of rest. It was the half of the seventh day of rest. What? What? Why is your answer not a good answer? Thank you, Rashi. But why is it not a good answer?
This is Bayom.
Right. Okay. Rashi. Everyone is stuck on this. You'll tell me if you like the answer. You'll tell me if Rashi likes this answer. Vayechal Elohim Bayom HaShvi'i. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Basav Adam She'eno Yodea Itav V'Rega'av. Human beings who cannot establish, who don't know, have a specific time, who aren't sensitive or attuned to exact moments, they have to add Michol al HaKodesh. There's a mitzvah of Shabbos, you have to hosif Michol al HaKodesh. Why do we start 18 minutes before? Why do we light 18 minutes before? We light 18 minutes before because there's a mitzvah la hosif Michol al HaKodesh. You add from the weekday to Shabbos. Right? Shabbos doesn't start 18 minutes candle lighting. Shabbos starts when Shabbos starts. But halacha, the halacha added a certain a grace period. The hosif me'achol HaKodesh. God doesn't need that. Rather, aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sheyodea itav v'rega'av, he knows exact moments, nichnas bo kechut ha-se'ara. God entered into Shabbos as a hair width's breadth, v'nir'ah, and it seems as ki'ilu ki'lau bo bayom. As if God stopped on the day of Shabbat itself. So what's Rashi's answer to the question? What's his answer? How can it be if God finished on the seventh day, then he didn't rest on the seventh day? So what's Rashi's answer to that question?
It seemed to us it was the seventh day, but it wasn't.
Right.
It was before.
Correct. So what's Rashi's answer? Let me paraphrase. You know, it says that God completed on the seventh, finished on the seventh day. Did I stop dancing? No, he didn't.
Ki'ilu.
You like that answer?
No, particularly.
Right. You know how, does Rashi like that answer? How do I know? Because he gives you another answer. Right. Okay. Davar acher. Ma haya ha'olam chaser. What was the world missing? Menucha. It was missing rest. Bat Shabbat. Bat Menucha. When Shabbat came, Menucha came, rest came. Kalta v'nigmara ha-melacha.
Meaning the last piece of the melacha was to create Menucha.
Correct.
The last
piece of the work was to create a day of rest. How did God create a day of rest?
By resting.
By not working. So God, in essence, worked by resting, or rested by working, whatever. So that's why on the seventh day. Do you like that answer?
No.
Why?
Only because if you perceive Hashem like a miracle, then that's fine.
Right.
Because, like, if you put it into human terms, there can't be a distinction between creation and rest. It has to be a process. Things have to happen one after the other. But if you look at it from a Mary Poppins perspective,
why is that relevant to
because if you're
I understand, you're saying God is planning on resting, so therefore what's the difference if he didn't rest or not?
Resting because everything can be completed within a time frame, because multiple things can happen at the same time.
Correct.
As a human being, we're limited by our bodies in completing our tasks one piece at a time.
Correct.
We can't do the whole of everything that needs to be done.
I understand. You're saying God has no problem creating rest even though he's not resting at the same time.
Right, he's creating the rest and planning it, and then it starts it so you can light your Shabbos candles. That could be the action of doing something, but once they're done, you're then resting.
Well, I think I'm agreeing with you. I want to say that my challenge to this problem is simpler.
How is not working work? How can you say that not working is work? It's passive creating? You're not creating.
Right.
What?
Maybe rest isn't... Maybe the definition of rest is not working.
Ooh.
Maybe you should create something that's... Right. You might not be doing the menial labor that you do in your regular life, but it's something else. In your couch, or back, it's a different kind of work. Not just the stuff.
The only problem with saying that is then God did not rest on Yom HaShvi'i.
It's like a spiritual piece of him comes over us.
He created something else. That's not rest.
Something else called menucha.
Do you understand what I'm saying? But your problem with saying that is if God created this menucha, then God did not himself rest on Yom HaShvi'i.
It's not a physical thing he created.
So what?
It's a spiritual
thing. Who cares?
It's different. It's not work.
What? That's critical because the whole notion of Shabbat is the absence of active creation. It's withdrawal. That's the critical element of Shabbat. Isn't we talk about the additional spiritual element?
A spiritual
work. It's like a special light.
Oh.
Not physical.
You have to work on yourself to be able to control.
Maybe it goes back to the heaven and the earth. You're working on the heaven and you're resting on the earth.
Okay.
The language also changes. Uh-huh.
Wait.
Yibra, tells us what was created.
Right.
And then on Shabbat it just says, like it doesn't say, Vayibra et Menuchat Shabbat.
So that's not what it is against what
you're
saying.
I'm saying the language is different. I'm saying it doesn't, it's not the same. I'm saying it's already a different type of work on Yom Shvi'i because it doesn't say Ve'yivra.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's, and it doesn't tell us what it was.
It's a spiritual work. Just like davening, it's work.
I have to tell you.
Can't say
I find this question.
You daven.
The answers.
Where's the Kitor?
The answer. Great. That's also a good question. The answers. I find this question. The answer is weak, even as Rashi did. Right. Oh, God created rest. God created rest. So you're trying to answer that. You're trying to solve that conundrum by saying that it's a different kind of creation. It's a spiritual creation. It's not a malacha. It's not a physical, but it's something greater than that. I understand your answer. I appreciate it. Let's look at Rashi's answer. Rashi's answer is, oh, ki'ilu. God can, you know, he's got his iPhone down to the, you know, bajillionth of a second that we can't do. And it says, if. Really? Right? And to me, I find the question extremely appealing. What that means is that Shabbat is a paradox. On the one hand, how could God, on the one hand, create and not create at the same time? How can you create a Shabbat that's not created? But that's essentially what Shabbat is. What is Shabbat? Shabbat is a day of rest without which creation couldn't exist. No, yes.
Something that doesn't exist before.
Right.
Because.
Yes.
As opposed to a continuation.
Correct. The Mefarshim talk about this in a second. We'll get to the next pasuk. Okay, you're absolutely correct. I wanted to point out this fact that the pasuk itself is a paradox. Right? Sort of like Shabbat is a paradox.
I never noticed that before.
Very good. Okay. Pasuk Gimel. Vayivarech Elohim et Yom HaShvi'i. Vayikadesh oto. Kivo shavat mikom malachtao asher bara Elohim la'asot. One word here is extremely problematic, and then there's two other questions. Okay? Which word? God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. For on that day, God rests from all of his work that God created to do. Okay? What word is like what? Which word is it called?
La'asot.
What in the world? Right? You could read. What in the word is la'asot? So the Beforshim pick up on Donna. Okay, I'm sorry. Solomon, right? Okay. We'll get there. Pick up on this la'asot. What is la'asot? Shabralim la'asot means there's a difference between creative creation, what you're referring to, yesh me'ayin, and the idea of yesh me'yesh. We need God. The world functions. Without God, the world wouldn't function at all. Right? But God doesn't withdraw from the world on Shabbat. Ongoing creation continues. The plants don't stop growing. The water doesn't stop flowing. That's continued creation. We believe that God's role in the world continues even though God stops creating Yesh Me'ayin. So some say that this La'asot is a Shebra'alim La'asot, that God created the world to continue to exist, to continue to create. But that what God stopped doing is this idea of creative creation that you were referring to. I think this is what you're alluding to.
I remember being in the show once, and she said it's a little bit like Shabbat. Like, you can't make your Shabbat from scratch on Shabbat.
Right.
What's happening is you continue to cook and be better and better.
Excellent analogy. Terrific. That's a great analogy, right? It's la'asot. I think that's a good example. Like, now that I think about it, it's a very beautiful idea. That we do so many things that relates to the melachot of Shabbat. There's a difference between the things that we do that are preserving, that are ongoing, that we are allowed to do, and then we're not, the melachot of Shabbat that are creative acts, that you're not permitted to do, that are sort of mimicking this idea of this yesh me'ayin as opposed to yesh me'yesh. It's a very beautiful idea. Yeah.
So from this one word, I guess people can read into it saying that Hashem's involved in the world, that He created it, and it's
There are people for him to keep going.
Right. There are people with that belief.
Yeah.
They could get a card here, no?
Yeah. Okay. But that's why, by the way, that's why in the Sered Hadibro, that's why we keep Shabbat. The whole point of Shabbat is that we believe in this ongoing creation. The revelation. God created the world, and He rested, and that's why I continue to rest today. That's why it's so critical. Let's go back to the beginning of the Pasuk. Vayivarech Elokim et yom ha-shvi'i vayikadesh oto. How? What was the bracha, and what was the sanctity? Like, is it need to be explained or elucidated in a more clear way, or it's enough? We know what it means.
And why did He have to bless it and need it?
And sanctify it.
Why two?
Okay, so we'll look at a couple of Mefarshim. We'll see Rashi. Okay, vayivarech vayikadesh. I just want to point out all the mafreshim stop on these things. These questions that we have are classic questions. They're critical questions. Even though we say this every Shabbat, that doesn't make it any less important. Vayivarech vayikadesh. Says Rashi, bircho b'man. That was like an Avodah reaction.
No,
really?
I was just thinking about there's the whole dual element of zochar v'shamor.
Uh-huh.
And then you have other parts where you have double, where you have like
the double.
Okay. When you said the man, I was getting there, but
go a second. Very good. Shekol yemot haShavua yayaren omer legugolet ubeshishi lechem mishnah. So what is the vayivarech? By the way, Rashi he's picking up on a very important point. Elsewhere in when we have brachot elsewhere in creation, what is the vayivarech? Right. The vayivarech, like we give you a bracha. Oh, I give you a bracha. It's not vayivarech. It's not, oh, I give you a bracha. You should have blessing. You should have a lot of nachas. It's not, a bracha in the Torah is not a bracha that, oh, you should feel good or think good things can happen to you. A bracha is, I affect change on you in this tangible way. Before now, you couldn't do such, and now I give you the bracha that you could do such. Okay? Even the bracha that Avram should have children, it wasn't a bracha, oh God saying, Avram, you should have a lot of bracha. No, you will have children. Okay, so what's the bracha of Shabbat?
That's Hashem created with His word, right?
Correct.
By still what? It.
No. The bracha of Shabbat, says Rashi, is that God gave a bracha of Shabbat that the world would produce double in order to allow for Shabbat to exist.
The world would sustain itself in Shabbat.
Correct. Right. Well, here he's saying, he's alluding to the man. I don't know if he thinks it's only man, or he thinks, the bracha of Shabbat was that the Bnei Yisrael, the Midbar, would receive double man so that they could keep Shabbat. That's the bracha of Shabbat. So it's very interesting that the bracha of Shabbat happens not on Shabbat, but it happens before Shabbat. Again, our paradox. Okay. Vayikadesh oto, v'kidsho b'man, Shelo Yerad Klal b'Shabbat. And what's the kiddush? The withdrawal. That there was no man on Shabbat. That the world was sanctified in that the world rested itself on Shabbat. Somehow the world is different in and of itself. V'hamikra katuv al shem ha'atid. This pasuk is not talking about then. Nothing happened back then. It's referring to its allusion to the future. When does God bless and sanctify the Shabbat? Later on. Okay? The Rashi, of course, as you all know, is based on a midrash. But the Mefarshim don't love this Midrash. Why? Because that means that, what did God do then and there? God didn't do anything then and there. Right? At that time, Vayivarech, Vayikadesh, what did Hashem do? Nothing. It's not referring to then. Look at Rashbam. You have Rashbam? You have Rashbam? On Gimel. Vayibarech lekim et yom ha-shvi'i. Kishi igia et yom ha-shabbat. Kvar bara ha-kadosh baruch hu kol tzorchei ha-briyotim mizonotam. He agrees with Rashi. But he's not saying vayibarech and God blessed him there. Vayibarech means and God had blessed. V'nimsa ha-shabbat mivurach mikol tuv. Rashbam. It was blessed by Yivarech. Again, but this idea of the bracha of Shabbat is the preparation for Shabbat.
It doesn't say when he did it.
Sforno, look at Sforno. It's going to give you something totally different. Sforno says, Yivarech Elohim, you have it, right? Sforno?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's right next to the Rashbam. Right there.
What is, oh, look at that.
Yes, look at that. Kol Yom HaShvi'i Atid Bircho. God blessed actual Shabbat itself. Shiye yoter muchan mishara yamim benefesh yeteira leor beor chayim. What did God do? He changed the day itself. God blessed the day and said, "This day is going to be a day of spirituality." Ke Amram kivan sheshavat vay avda nefesh yeteira. When Shabbos leaves, you lose your, like, this idea of nefesh yeteira. That somehow, like this one who ends says that God did bless the seventh day in a way and make the seventh day different than all other days. If so, then how did God rest? It wasn't creative creation, I guess. It was spiritual creation. It was spiritual creation. It wasn't physical work. It wasn't belacha. It was something more. Okay? But understand, like, these are like, somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu affected the world. He changed the world. He created the seventh day in such a way that it's different. So there's a Gemara. There's a Gemara that's quoted in the Kli Yakar, but there's a Midrash, there's a problem. So, you know, we say Vayechulu. When do we say Vayechulu? Friday night? When?
Fish.
Actually, say it three times.
And
you say it in Ma'ariv?
No.
After Ma'ariv in Shul? And then you say it during Kiddush. You say the Pesukim three times. It's very fascinating. Anybody know why we say it after Ma'ariv again in Shul?
For people who aren't going to say Kiddush at home.
It's interesting, right? There's a certain kid. By the way, it's critical to have these Pesukim. It's like, so Rav Malamed, I saw Rav Malamed says, he quotes that, he says that it's so important. He says, let's say Shabbos fell out on a Yontif. So on Shabbos, it falls out on a Yontif, you don't have Vayechulu in Shemoneh Esrei.
Why?
It's just not in the Nusach. It's a Yontif davening. It's not a Shabbos davening. They just added. So it was so important that they added these words. They added the Vayechulu afterwards. Every Shabbos that you would never have a Shabbos that you missed it.
Oh, it's in Chazaras Hashatz so that you won't miss it.
It's not Chazaras Hashatz.
It's in
afterwards, so that even if you don't say it in davening, you say it nonetheless. What? You said about Yechulah on Yom Kippur and then it falls down on Shabbat. You know, because it doesn't appear in the davening. Others say, you ever notice this? You might notice this. Like people, when they finish, let's say you daven and you didn't say Vayechulah with everyone else. I don't know if you know this. So the halacha says that if you didn't finish with everybody else, so like they already said Vayechulah, you shouldn't say Vayechulu on your own. Rather, you call somebody over, you say it with somebody else.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
So if you didn't. It's like an Eidut.
Very good. Exactly right. It's called an Eidut. And you can't. Eidut. So Eidut is never said by yourself. You say it b'shnayim. Two people are supposed to say it. That there's this idea that we actually testify that God created the world. And then, not only that, when we say Kiddush, we add those psukim in.
What if there's no one there when you're saying Kiddush?
What do you mean? You say it by yourself? No, so in shul, though, you do have other people there. You're at the minyan. So this idea that there's a dude, that it's a public testimony, that you're testifying that God created the world. Says the Gemara the following. The Gemara says
it. If a woman doesn't daven Ma'ariv on Friday night, on Shabbos, she should make Kiddush.
If she doesn't daven Ma'ariv?
If she doesn't daven Ma'ariv.
And never heard, and doesn't hear Kiddush?
Then
say Kiddush anyway.
She should be the one to say the Vayechulu at Kiddush at home.
Really?
But he's also...
You gotta find me that one. Sounds like one of those websites.
I know what she's talking about, but I think the difference is that Kiddush is considered Doraita.
Kiddush is Doraita.
And there is something about this, because if he's already said Kiddush, she needs to say... There's a Doraita element to this, or versus a Durabanan element, right?
I'm being told this.
Okay, we got to wrap it up, but I got to finish. The Gemara says the following. Amarava became Rav Shimon Levi. Afilu yachid amitpalel be'er Shabbat. Even if the individual davens, even if by himself, sarich lomar vayachulu. Even individual has to say vayachulu. Maybe this is what you're referring to. Even if you daven by yourself. Meaning, no, of course you can say it with community. The Amarava Hamununa, says Rav Hamununa, kol amitpalel be'er Shabbat va'omer vayachulu. If you say vayachulu be'er Shabbat, ma'ale alav hakatuv, ki'ilu na'aseh shutaf la'kadosh baruch hu b'maaseh b'reishit. The Torah makes it as if you are a partner with God in Maaseh B'reishit. If you said vayechulu on Friday night, it's as if you partnered with God in creating the world. Shne'emar vayechulu, al tikre vayechulu ela vayichlu, together. And they completed. What do you mean they completed? God finished, God completed. Vayechal elokim. What's vayechulu? What's the plural? Me and God, you and God completed the world. Comes along Kiyakar and says, what in the world is going on? What the heck? How is that possible? So I'm not going to read it, you can read it yourself. The Kiyakar says the following, he says, I got to explain something to you about the way the world works. He says, yeah, sure, God created the first 6 days, but, one second. God, in his God, wisdom, bara yom echad, hu yodea l'Hashem, God created another day, an additional day. Ubo bayom chozer Hashem umashpia nefesh leolam shiur hamekayem od shisha yamin. He says, on this seventh day, God creates a spirit in the world that is enough to allow the world to exist for another 6 days. He says, God created 6 days. God did 6 days. He says, I'll take the first six. But on the seventh day, you have to rest. And that seventh day has the power to create the spirituality necessary for the world to exist for another 6 days. Without which?
The world will cease to exist.
The world would cease to exist. He says, that's why he says, whoever says Vayechulu is a partner with God in the world. That the world is dependent upon somebody somewhere. And he goes along and he says, Adam kept Shabbos and he taught one of his children to keep Shabbos. Somebody somewhere throughout history has to keep Shabbat. Because without the rest of Shabbat, the rest, the break of Shabbat, the menucha of Shabbat, thank you, the world would stop, the world itself wouldn't exist.
But Hashem's keeping it, so.
No, we have to keep it. God did it once, He blessed the world, He created the power of Shabbat in order to ensure that the world would continue to function, spiritual existence.
But where do you see it in the
psalm? You're like, yeah.
Where do you see this, what you're saying?
Where do I see it?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Vayechulu Hashemayim, and they complete it. Vayivarech Elohim et Yom HaShvi'i Vayikadesh Oto. He blessed it and he sanctified it. Okay? Kivo Shabbat Mikom Lachto. And that's why he says, by the way, I don't know if you mentioned this, Shira. He says, it doesn't say Vayir Vayivoker Yom HaShvi'i. He says, why? Because in Shvi'i, it's Vayir Vayivoker. Erev is a time of rest and Boker is a time of work. He says, but Shabbat is not like that. Shabbat is both a time of rest and a time of work. It's a time of rest from physical work, but it's a time of amel and spiritual work. Both whether at the night or during the day. I want to go back to relate to, so like Rashi and the Rambam, we spoke about it extensively at length. Why did God tell us all this information? Like, why is this important? And what I wanted to show you is that in the Bereishit itself, as much as we don't understand it, and of course Rambam and Rashi would agree with this, right? There's critical elements of understanding that allow us to worship Hashem. It wouldn't be enough for us to just learn this in the Aseret Dibur. Oh, by the way, God created the world and gave you Shabbat. Rather, we have to have an understanding of the depth of the meaning of how God created the world and Shabbat and all the other things that go along with it. Because without which, we wouldn't be able to, we wouldn't have a clear understanding of, we wouldn't have a clear understanding of the nature of our responsibility vis-a-vis the world. I just want to use this idea of Shabbat as one small, yeah, don't touch. One small, tiny example of this. That these things are, these details are critical for us to understanding as a people, and even for our understanding of how to keep Shabbat, what Shabbat's all about, and all the mitzvot, many of the mitzvot themselves. Without which, we would be incomplete. We wouldn't be able to have a fuller and full understanding of who it is we are and how we're supposed to fulfill our role in the world today. We'll stop.